Good morning, party people, and welcome to North Bay, Ontario, up in Canada, the home of the Can-Am Cup, an invitational curling competition put on by Aaron Bertrand of the SQL Server community. This year we had 32 competitors show up, plus their families, including Aaron Bertrand, of course, who puts on the event, Michael J. Swart, a SQL Server blogger who used to draw really pretty pictures with his blog posts as well, and Andy Mallon of the SQL Server community as well. Plus all kinds of Aaron's friends from Aaron grew up here in North Bay and friends and people that he's known from over the years. It's a ton of fun. This is my second year participating and I won, my team won the championship this year, and I have to be careful and say it was my team because it was definitely not due to a majority of my contributions. The only times in my life that I've curled, curling is that thing where you slide along an ice rink and you spin big stones towards a little target. The only two times in my life when I've curled is last year's competition and this year's competition. But it's really easy to pick up and it's tons of fun. It looks really easy on TV. I assure you, it is not very easy. It is actually very physical, too, between the sweeping of the broom and the being down on your knees to throw the stone, which I don't do. I stand and throw the stone, but I mean, with using a stick, I don't throw it across the ice. Those stones weigh like 40 pounds. But my Tim Hortons coffee tastes much better coming out of the championship chalice there. That's the trophy you get if you win, which is kind of cool. It's cold. This is Canada in the winter. Behind me over that shoulder are ice fishing huts. Some of the competitors went out ice fishing yesterday and caught some really big fish, which was pretty impressive. Or 2 days ago, they went out and caught fish. Yesterday was the curling tournament. So let's go to your top voted questions from PollGab. The top voted question is from Adrian, who asks, with all my storage on the all my SQL Server files on the same storage, does it make sense to have different virtual disks for data log tempdb? Our SQL servers have 7 or 8 drives each, and managing free space is boring. Generally speaking, no, it doesn't make as much sense. I am still of the opinion that you should put tempdb on its own volume because that has some gotchas around storage replication. You probably don't want to replicate tempdb. It's constantly churning in terms of writes. There's no value to it. So when you fail over to your disaster recovery site, if you're doing SAN replication, you don't need tempdb. You could recreate that from scratch, especially if you script it ahead of time. I will say, though, you want to check with your particular storage's vendor's guidelines, because with some storage vendors, they allow you to set things like caching differently, and it probably makes sense to do that differently on data files versus on log files. But otherwise, if you're, for example, up in the cloud like AWS, Google, Amazon, whatever, Azure, that was the one I forgot to say there, then it probably doesn't make sense and you're probably better off striping stuff. You want multiple disks up in the cloud for different reasons. And I talk more about that in my class, Running SQL Server in the Cloud. If you go to brentozard.com and hit training up at the top, you can get that class and I explain when it makes sense to use multiple volumes and why and how you should go about configuring that. Next up, Newish Junior DBA says, I'm a 7-month-old SQL baby, but I just heard about policy-based management. I searched your blogs and I couldn't find much. Do most shops not use it? No, nobody uses it. The thing was, this came out more than a decade ago, and the idea of it was solid, but Microsoft only shipped the features that don't really matter. Policy-based management really came out or focused on things like index names. Who cares? That's not what I struggle with as a database administrator. I want policies around make sure my databases are backed up, make sure I have certain security rules in place, make sure that database mail is configured. And they didn't have anything like those kinds of policies. What we really want when we think about policy-based management is the ability to set policies about how our servers are run and governed, not how our applications are built. Because I don't really have a lot of choice in how my applications are built when I'm a database administrator, because often I'm pulling in apps from third parties, for example, and I just can't govern the way that those are administered. So it Microsoft never shipped any improvements to it, so that feature never really caught on. Next up, Silent But Threadly says, if a DBA never speaks at conferences or never writes blogs, does that limit their career growth? No, as long as you're working for the same company for your entire career. Is anybody here doing that? Is anybody working for the same company through your... No, yeah, nobody does that anymore. So the problem that you run into is that when it's come time to get your next job, you're going to be in competition with a whole bunch of people who are faking their resumes with AI, and they're faking job interviews with AI. And if you're one stranger amongst that whole entire population, you don't stand a chance of standing out. Other people will stand out long before you do. When you speak at conferences or write blog posts, you are giving yourself a way to stand out before you desperately need it. May not be the advice you want to hear, but that's the advice that I've got. Arose asks, is database engineer really just a rebranded DBA, or is it a different skill set? It's a different skill set. Database engineers tend to script things more. They tend to do things, and I know right now DBAs out there are saying, well, but I script things with T-SQL. Yeah, they tend to do things more with stuff like Python, for example, so that they can automate deployments at a large scale, so that they can manage failing over to DR at large scale, so that they can manage to import data, that they learn new databases rapidly because they're learning whatever's best fit for purpose based on whatever the data scientist said. So engineering is treated quite differently, as opposed to a database administrator tends to work with the same platform for a long period of time and just manage that same database. Next up, my tea got cold. Everything gets cold out here. Says, have you got much to do left for updating your mastering classes for SQL Server 2025? Yes, absolutely. There's a ton, specifically around AI. So I say recently, like 2 months ago, brought out SP Blitzcache with AI features. So now there are two things that I want to redo the mastering query tuning class with. I want to redo it with SQL Server 2025 in 2025 compat mode, redo all of the labs, like redo all the lab exercises, and with using SP Blitzcache with AI turned on, so that I can show if you're using AI, here's what solving the labs looks like. If you're not using AI, here's what solving the labs looks like. But the combination of 2025, query store, all the adaptive query tuning stuff that's in 2025 plus AI means that all of the labs have to be redone in mastering query tuning. Then the next feature I want to ship in the first responder kit is AI for SP Blitz index, where I can script out the existing indexes, script out the indexes that SQL Server really wants, and include the most read-intensive query plans from SP Blitzcache and say, all right, AI, based on this stuff, how do you want to redo the indexes for this table? So then the same thing, I'm going to be redoing the labs for mastering index tuning to show what that would look like using AI. But to do that, I also have to ship the AI integration for SP Blitz index first, which is part of what I'll be working on when I go back home. I fly home today and get back to work tomorrow. Next up, Not Brento says, at what size or number of servers do you recommend clients use central management servers? And do you have any other advice regarding a CMS? So I don't do fleet management. I have a weird kind of job where I focus on performance tuning, and I tend to focus on that one server at a time. I'm like an emergency room trauma surgeon, so I don't do fleet management of 50 or 100 SQL servers, so I don't get involved in advice on that. Meatbag asks, how is AI changing your training classes and conference sessions? It's changing it in several different ways. One is that whenever I teach something, I want to teach what's the fastest way to make that pain go away. And sometimes the fastest way is education. Sometimes the fastest way is to teach people, here's what you need to do when you have that pain. But sometimes the solution is to give them an app or give them a script. So for example, with SP Blitz. When I went to go teach SP Blitz for the first time for how you do health checks, I didn't want to teach people, here's how you do a health check. I wanted to give them a script. When I wanted to show them what queries are slow on your SQL server right now, I didn't want to teach them, here's how you write a query against sysdm exec requests. No, I wrote SP Blitz first and said, here you go, execute this, and I'll show you, it'll show you how things work. So AI is enabling me to build more tools more quickly to solve people's pains. For example, I have an SQL Bits training day workshop coming up. And part of that is going to be giving the attendees a script saying, check this out. This is going to make a whole lot of this work way easily, more easily for you. Do it more easily for you. And there is no way that I could have shipped that in time for SQL Bits without AI. AI is helping me write it in huge ways that I just personally wouldn't have been able to do before. So it really changes that. Another way that it changes it is that I like asking, I like giving the PDF or the PowerPoint to AI and saying, if you were a student, what questions would you have after watching this module? And then that helps me figure out what additional learning resources I need to point them to, and if there's anything I need to add to head off a certain question inside the material itself. Both of those are really revolutionary for me as a teacher. Let's see, next up, For a Friend asks, how many years of experience does someone really need before they can call themselves a senior DBA? For me personally, I think it's less about the number of years you have, it's more about the number of jobs you've had and the number of servers you've managed. If you've only had one DBA job and you've only managed two or three SQL servers, it's really hard to become a senior DBA because you face the same problems, and once you've solved them, your job is really boring. On the other hand, after you've been a junior DBA for a couple of years at a shop and you go to get your next job, you shouldn't be looking for junior DBA jobs. You should be looking for DBA or senior DBA jobs, because once you've been doing something for a couple of years, it's really hard to still call yourself a junior at it. Another thing to think about is if you work with, say, 50 or 100 SQL servers, you're constantly exposed to new problems all the time. That's like a rocket ship for your experience level. You'll become a senior much more quickly. I've seen people who worked with 50 servers for a year, and they were very senior because they saw all kinds of crazy problems and knew how to solve them more quickly. So I don't think it's as much about time as it is about the number of servers that you're dealing with and the number of jobs that you've had. Your second one shouldn't be a junior DBA job. And then we'll do one more. Midwest Data Person says, I use SP Rename to switch tables. Are there any gotchas about this approach? The one big gotcha by far is security. Whenever you rename an object to something else, because it sounds like you're swapping things back and forth from table one to table two and vice versa, whenever you swap things back and forth, the permissions carry with the original object regardless of what its name was. So I've seen people get a staging table ready and then switch it out with the real table and not realize that people had been giving permissions to the old table, and now those permissions were just gone. They were over with the new renamed table name. That's the big one that I would focus on. All right, there's a good handful of questions. I am now going to go get my chili bottom back into the car and go start heading off for Toronto for my flight back over to Las Vegas. Hope you had fun and learned something, and I will see y'all on the next Office Hours. Adios. See if I can stop this.